Hayırlısı.
Bezus Hashem, we're beginning now, Maseches Beitza. There's a lot of raid exactly behind what exactly the name of the Masechta is. We'll talk about the details, Bezus Hashem, in the Araisa La'alacha sheet at the end of the week. Just Bekitzer, so the Marshal in Yamsho Shlomo and Bava Kamo and Perek Dalet, Siman Yad Aleph, he's the Marad Shmaitza with this sugya, with how to call the name of this Masechta. The Marshal brings that he saw a practice that the people wouldn't call this Masechta Beitza, rather they would call it Maseches Beya. And he explains the reasoning. I was talking about Ifen Naki. He says that was the reason to specifically call the name of the Masechta, Masechta Beya. And it's taka brought by the Magen Avraham. However, the Iyayayam, he was from the Talmidim of the Gain. He completely disregarded the Marshal with this psak, and he brings that he actually asked Rav Avram ben Agra. He asked the son of the Gra. He asked Rav Avram what his father, what the Gain, what did he call the name of this Masechta? The Iyayam writes that he specifically wanted to know what the Gain called this Masechta. He said that the Gain was very makbid about the way he said his words and the words that he said. So he asked him how his father, what he called the name of this Masechta. And Rabbi Avram answered that he called this Masechta Masechet Beitza. That's what he said he called the name of this Masechta. The Velt Lamaisa brings a raya from Rabbeinu Chananel over here on the side of the page. Rabbeinu Chananel, he starts off the Masechta with a poem. He starts off the Masechta, Aschi o Maseches Beitza, Be'ezra's Gadol Ha'Eitza. So they bring a raya that if the Rabbeinu Chananel called it Beyo, so then it doesn't rhyme. It wouldn't work to say, Aschi o Maseches Beyo, Be'ezra's Gadol Ha'Eitza. So you see from here that Rabbeinu Chananel called the name of this Masechta, Masechta Beitza. Pnei Yeshua also has a similar poem, the Chassam Sofer as well. It seems like they called the name of this Masechta, Masechta Beitza. And Lamaiso, there are different practices amongst different sects of Yiddishkeit. Sfaradim typically call it Masechta Beitza. The Hasidim pretty basically all over call it Masechta Beya. And amongst the Litvish Olam, so there's different practices. In America, many people call it Maseches Beya. And in Eretz Yisrael, the whole Litvish Olam calls it Maseches Beitza. Without further ado, says the Mishnah, Beitza Shanoda B'Yamtif. If you have an egg that was born on Yamtif, so really, even just the name of there's another name of the Masechta that the Rishonim typically call the Masechta, I shouldn't say typically, but often call the Masechta, Maseches Yamtif. And that's really what the Masechta is about. It's a lot of Hilchas Yamtif is learned from this Masechta. But Lamaisa, for whatever reason, which again, we'll discuss it in the Raisila Halacha sheet at the end of the week, the name of the Masechta, you look at the top of the page, is called Maseches Beitza. Anyway, so says the Mishnah, Beitza Shenoda B'Yamtif, you have an egg that's born on Yamtif. So Beishamai Oimrim Teyachel. Beishamai says you have an egg that hatched, that was born out of a, not hatched, but it was born from a hen on Yantif. So you want to make hard-boiled eggs for breakfast. So Beishamai says you're allowed to, you can eat the egg, Teyachel. Ubeishilu Oimrim Loi Teyachel. However, Beishilu says that no, you're not allowed to eat the egg, and we'll see in the Gemara different mahalchim in terms of what this machlekes is based on. Why Beis Shammai holds that you're allowed to eat it, and Beis Hillel holds you're not allowed to eat it. Beis Shammai oimrim, so'or bekezayis v'chameis bekekoseves, that when it comes to the isser of Bal Yira and Bal Yimatze, so the isser of how much chameis you're mechuyev to, that you have, when you have it, you're mechuyev to burn it, so so'or is bekezayis v'chameis bekekoseves. So'or, which is sourdough, has a smaller shear, it's more chamer, once it's a kezayis, you have a chiyev beer. Whereas chametz, only when it's a kikoseves, which is a larger shear than the kezayis, only then will a person have a chiyev beer. However, Beis Hillel Aimrim Zev is Zev B'Kezayis. Beis Hillel, again, a second machlokes in the Mishnah, where Beis Hillel is more machmir than Beis Shammai. And Beis Hillel says, that no, even by chametz, you have the smaller shear of a kezayis. Once it's a kezayis, you're going to have a chiyev beer. And we'll see in the Gemara on Zainam Abayz, that this whole machlekes is dafka with regards to the chi of beer. When it comes to the Isra Achila, that even Beishame is maida, that everything is bekezayis. This machlekes is specifically a machlekes when it comes to the chi of beer. And then the third machlekes, again, where Beis Hillel seems to be more machmir than Beis Shammai, says the Mishnah, Sheichet chaya v'ayif b'yamtif, a person who shechts a chaya or an ayif on yamtif, so Beis Shammai oimrim yachbur b'deker v'chasa. So the halacha is, in general, nothing to do with yantif. During the week, any time a person shechs a chaya in an ayif, so there's a chiyuv of kisle yadam to cover the dam with some dirt. So says Beis Shammai, if one shechts a chaya in an ayif on yantif, as he's allowed to, so he's now allowed to dig up some dirt, even though typically a person's not allowed to dig out dirt on yantif, which we'll see in the Gemara what the issue with that is, but you're not allowed to do that on yantif. Still, for the mitzvah of kisle yadam, so Beis Shammai says that you're allowed to be yachbar bedeker and then cover up the dam of the chayin daif. However, Beis Hillel says that lo yishchait elim kein hayoloi afer muchan mi ba'id yoim. Beis Hillel says that no, a person shouldn't shecht in such a situation. If he doesn't have afer that's already designated for kisle yadam, so he shouldn't shecht lo yishchait elim kein hayoloi afer unless you already have dirt muchan that was set aside mi ba'id yoim from before yantif. But unless you have dirt, so then you shouldn't shecht. However, who made them, even Beis Hillel is made to Beis Shammai, they're made them, she'im shachat, let's say a person, he did not have dirt set aside, so really, if he would have asked the Rav would have told him, don't shecht, you're not allowed to shecht, being that you don't have dirt set aside, so you're not allowed to shecht. Let's say he did shecht, he didn't ask a shayla, he thought it was mutter. Now he asks the shayla, am I allowed to now dig out some dirt? So says the Mishnah, so that in such a case, Beis Hillel is ma'idah shem shachat, that if he already shechted, sheyachbar bedeker v'chasa, that then he could dig out some dirt and cover up the dam. So he wasn't initially allowed to do the shechita without having afar muchan, but if he did, so now he could dig up some dirt and he could cover the dam. And then the Mishnah ends off, she'efer kira muchanu, that because the ashes in the oven are prepared. So that doesn't seem to really explain the din of the Mishnah that we just said, so the Gemara is going to explain what this last line of the Mishnah, these last few words of the Mishnah mean, she'efer kira muchanu, that will wait till we get to the Gemara. So now says the Gemara. So we're going to focus now on the first machlekes that the Mishnah quoted. The first machlekes that the Mishnah brought was about a beitza that was nolda b'yamtif. You have an egg that's born from the hen on yamtif. Beis Shammai says teyachil. Beis Hillel says you're not allowed to eat it. So the shaila is now b'maya skinan. What's going on over here? Ilema b'tarne goyla sa'imedes la'achila. If you will say that we're discussing a hen that the person had in mind to shecht for yantif. This was a hen that was aymed la'achila. He intended to shecht this hen on yantif and eat it. If that's the case, so then ma'itamayu de Beis Hillel. So why would Beis Hillel, what could possibly be wrong with eating the egg? The only possible issue the Gemara is going to assume that there could be with eating this egg is muktzah. But says the Gemara, if the hen was aymed la'achila, you were intending to shecht this hen on yantif and having chicken for the yantif day suda. So if that's the case, so now what could be wrong with eating the egg? Uchla de prasu. It's just food that was separated, which means that being that the hen was oimei la'achila, and so you were intending to shech the hen and eat the chicken for yantif, so included in eating the chicken, you would be allowed to eat the egg that's inside of it as well. So the egg was also muchan mi ba'od yoim. You had already set aside, by setting aside the chicken, by definition, that's setting aside to eat the egg as well. The egg is just food which is separated from other food. It's like if a person had a piece of chicken and he cut some of the chicken off the bone, so now that's muksa? Of course not. That's part of the same chicken that he had set aside for yantif. So too over here. Says the Gemara, if the person intended to eat the hen, so why would Beis Hillel hold that the egg, which is born from this hen, is problematic to eat on yantif? Ella, says the Gemara, it must be b'tarne goyla ha'imedes legadol beitzim. It must be that this hen, the person, did not have intentions to eat the hen over yantif. He already had chicken that he bought from the butcher. Rather, this hen was a hen that he intended to use to help him raise other eggs. It was a tarnegoilus ha'imedes legadol beitzim. It was a tarnegoilus that was made for its eggs, that the person had it for its eggs. He wasn't intending to shecht it. If that's the case, so then the hen is muksa, it's not aymei la'achila. And if so, ask the Gemara, mai tamayu de Beis Shammai. So why would Beis Shammai say that you're allowed to eat the egg? If the egg came from this chicken, which was not designated for yantif, muksahi. So then it's muksa. The egg as well, it's muksa. So says the Gemara, we have no way to understand this machlaikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Says the Gemara, why can't we be talking about the Tarnagoilas that's Aymedes Legado Beitza? What was your kasha? That it's Muksa. Your kasha was is that if we're talking about a hen that the person intended just Legado Beitza, not to eat, so then Beishamai, how could Beishamai allow you to eat the egg? It's Muksa. Says the Gemara, my kushya. What's the kasha? Dilma Beishamai, less luhu Muksa. Maybe Beishamai doesn't hold of Muksa. So Rashi brings that there's a machlaikis, a famous machlaikis in Shas between Rab Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. That Rab Shimon is the shita of lesle Muksa. Rab Shimon doesn't hold of Muksa. And Rabbi Yehuda isle Muksa. Rabbi Yehuda holds of Muksa. Now, it doesn't mean the way it sounds that Rab Shimon literally doesn't hold of Muksa. The halacha l'maisa is we paskin like Rab Shimon. We also don't hold of Muksa, and yet we still have things that are considered Muksa. What it means is that Rab Shimon has a more limited view on Muksa. And to explain that, it's important to just maybe first be makdim that the very word muksa really just means that something is set aside. The reason why something would be muksa, that you wouldn't be allowed to move it on Shabbos or Yontif, is because being that it's set aside from your mind, it's huksa midaita, it's set aside from your mind, so that creates an iser on the object. So now Reb Shimon, Rashi explains, holds that a person has in mind everything. Reb Shimon's shita is that when a person goes into Shabbos or Yontif, he has in mind anything that I could possibly use in my possession, I want to use it. Being that that's the case, so Reb Shimon has a very limited view on then what would then be considered huksa midaitai. What's outside of a person's das? Not very much. Because a person has in mind to use everything that he has. If someone maybe had something which he made it not roi la'achila, he was daichet bi'adayim, so the Gemara in Shabbos discusses that in such a case, then Rab Shimon would be maida to that such an object would be considered a muksa, or such a food item that he made unedible, and he was daichet bi'adayim, so then Rab Shimon would agree that then that would be considered a muksa. But just Rab Shimon's view on muksa is far more limited because he holds of this svara that a person has in mind anything that's right to be used, he has in mind to use it. So that's what it means when we say that Reb Shimon lesle muksa, it means he has a very limited view on muksa. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda isle muksa. So what does Rabbi Yehuda hold? Rabbi Yehuda holds of muksa. So what does he hold? So you could say he holds that a person doesn't have in mind to use everything that's roi. But then it would be making like a machlekes and metzias. It would probably be more mistaber to say that Rabbi Yehuda also agrees that a person has such das. He has in mind to use everything that he has available. Just Rabbi Yehuda holds that such a general mindset like that doesn't help make something that now it's on your mind to use it. Being it's too general, it's too vague, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda holds that that doesn't work to make something that it's not muksa, that it's not set out of your mind. Reb Shimon holds that it does work, and so that's the machlokes Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon lesle muksa, and Reb Yehuda isle muksa. So now back to our Gemara. The Gemara is asking, now what's the problem? Maybe we're talking about a hen that was ayimei legado beitzim. It was really just made, the person has it just to raise eggs. He doesn't have it to eat it. Ah, so then you ask, then the beitza, which is nolda from such a hen, how could Beishamai say you're allowed to eat it? The egg is muksa. You weren't planning on shechting this chicken. So the egg is muksa. It wasn't around before. It wasn't on his mind. Says the Gemara, no, because maybe Beishamai holds a Reb Shimon that he doesn't hold of muksa. And Beishamai holds that a person has in mind anything in my possession that I'm going to be able to have, so I'm going to want to use that on Yontif. And so that's why Beishamai says that you're allowed to eat the egg. So says the Gemara, no, I'll explain to you why we don't feel like that why the Gemara didn't understand that answer would work. Because Kasal Kedaitin, right now we assume that Afilu Man Deshari B'Muksa, even according to the Man D'Amar who holds that Muksa is Mutter, meaning Reb Shimon, who's Lesle Muksa, Reb Shimon who holds that a person has a general das to use everything in his possession, B'Noilad Asar. The Gemara is saying that right now we're assuming that even Reb Shimon would agree that when it comes to the category of muksa, of nailad, like this beitza, which was nailad on Yontif, something which really didn't exist in this world, going into Shabbos or Yontif, and it only came into existence on Shabbos or Yontif, so the Gemara says that right now we're assuming that Reb Shimon would agree that such a thing is muksa, because being that it didn't really exist going into Shabbos or Yontif, or in our case Yontif, being that it didn't exist going into Yontif, so Reb Shimon would agree that your mind isn't on it, and therefore it's muksa. So that's the Gemara's kasha, that Maitamayu de Beishamai. that even if we're talking about tarnegoilas haimedas legad lebeitzim, even if Beis Shammai doesn't hold of muksa, the egg in this case that was born should still be muksa because it's nailad, and even Reb Shimon, who doesn't hold of muksa, he still holds of nailad. So the Gemara Lemaisa is going to give four terutzim to this kasha. We'll start the first terutz for now. Says the Gemara, Amr Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, "Now la'olam b'tarnegoilas ha'imedas legadol beitzim." That we're talking about this last tarnegoilas that we spoke about, the tarnegoilas ha'imedas legadol beitzim. So Beis Hillel is very understandable. Beis Hillel says that you're not allowed to eat the egg. That makes a lot of sense because it's muksa. So of course you can't eat the egg. What needs beer is now is the shita of Beis Shammai. So says Rav Nachman, that why does Beis Shammai hold you're allowed to eat the egg? Because says Rav Nachman, v'de islay muksa islay nailad, with the lasley muksa lasley nailad. We assumed in the kasha that even Rav Shimon, who doesn't hold of muksa, he holds of nailad. He agrees that nailad is asr. However, says Rav Nachman, no, it's not true. The man d'amar who holds of muksa holds of nailad. If you don't hold of muksa, you don't hold of nailad either. So Rav Shimon, who doesn't hold of muksa, he also doesn't hold of nailad. He holds at least this kind of nailad that a person does have in mind, that his das, his general das to use everything that he has in his possessions, that does cover the egg. Lamaisa, it was in existence. It was covered up by the chicken, by the hen, but it was here. It was something which did exist going into Yontif. And therefore, even according to Reb Shimon, that there's no muksa, he also doesn't hold of nailad, at least in this type of case, he would also hold that there's no issue of nailad. And therefore, says Rav Nachman, that Beis Shammai k'Reb Shimon u Beis Hillel k'Reb Yehuda. Now we can understand the machlokes Beis Shammai u Beis Hillel, that Beis Shammai holds you're allowed to eat the egg because he doesn't hold of muksa or nailad, and Beis Hillel says that you're not allowed to eat the egg because Beis Hillel holds that there is an issue of muksa, and in this case, there is an issue of nailad, and therefore you're not allowed to eat the egg. So hold it here. We'll just end with an interesting kasha. The ma'isa we said in the Mishnah that according to Beis Hillel, so a person's not allowed to shecht a chayo or an oif unless he already has afar that's muchan mi ba'idiyim, unless he has dirt that's set aside from before yontif. So a person's not allowed to shecht or chayin a knife. You're not allowed to put yourself in that kind of position that you're then going to have to compromise on Hilchus Yomtif and then dig out some dirt. So therefore, if you don't have dirt that's already set aside, you're not allowed to shecht the chayin or the knife. There's a very well-known Mordechai. The Mordechai in Meseches Menachos and Simen, Tav Kuf Mem Dalet. The Mordechai discusses a person who sits as ripped on Shabbos, or if a person it ripped maybe even before Shabbos, but he didn't have strings to put on it. Says the Mordechai in Menachos that a person is allowed to wear a four-cornered garment without tzitzis on Shabbos. There's nothing wrong. Says the Mordechai, what's going to be the issue? Because typically when a person's wearing a four-cornered garment, so he's a chiyuv to put on tzitzis. But when a person, says the Mordechai, that when a person wears his four-cornered garment on Shabbos, so what are you going to tell him? Hey, you can't be doing that because you have to put on tzitzis. You know what he's going to say back? He's going to say back, yeah, but to put on strings, to put on the tzitzis, I have to tie them. And to tie it would be an isra of malach of kosher on Shabbos. So I'm not allowed to. I'm stuck. The Torah is making me stuck. I want to put on the tzitzis, but I'm stuck because it's Shabbos, so I'm not able to. So I'm an einis. That's what the person will say back. So says the Mordechai, therefore, he's allowed to put on the garment. What are you going to say, that he shouldn't put himself into that situation? He shouldn't put on the four-cornered garment knowing that he's not going to be able to put on the strings? Says the Mordechai, there's no Isser in the Torah. The Torah doesn't say, Silbash beget tzitzis. It doesn't say that you're not allowed to wear a four-cornered garment without tzitzis. The Torah says that when you wear it, put on strings, put on tzitzis. I can't right now because it's Shabbos. You're going to tell me to take it off? I have no iser to wear it. There's no iser to wear such a garment. That's the chiddush of the Mordechai, that therefore there would be no problem with putting on the four-cornered garment on Shabbos. Now the kasha is, the Oinig Yom Tov raises his kasha, mamish in the end of his very first tshuva in Arachayim Simen Aleph, at the end of the tshuva, the Oinig Yom Tov says, how does the Mordechai understand our Mishnah? Beis Hillel says that you can't do the shechita unless you have afar that's already muchan mi ba'id yom. What's the issue? So what if you don't have afar? Just do the shechita, And then in Hanami, you won't be able to cover it. You won't be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Kisvei Adam. So what? So therefore, you shouldn't shecht. The Torah doesn't say don't shecht lei sishchait unless you have an offer that's ready for Kisvei Adam. You are allowed to shecht. Then the Torah says to do Kisvei Adam. You'll tell me that no, because now you're not going to be able to do Kisvei Adam. Okay, so what's the problem? So therefore you can't shecht? According to the Mordechai who says that you're allowed to put on the four-cornered garment without strings, because then you're an Aines, so why would Beis Hillel say that you're not allowed to shecht unless you have Afar Muchan Miba'idiyayim? That's the kash of the Einig Yomtev. Ayin Shom, he gives a geshmak at Teretz over there. It's mamish the last paragraph in the first simin in his Tshuvas in Aruch Chaim Simin Aleph.